You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
We've already mentioned Christmas a couple times, which is exciting. It's right around the corner, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We've got a four-week series this month in the book of Jonah. We're taking the entire book of Jonah over 4 weeks. It's one of the most popular books of the Bible. It is a familiar story, and what we're going to see, even in greater ways in the next couple weeks, is God's missionary heart that contrasted Jonah's heart for sinners, which was not all that great. And I just love this book because Jonah is a prophet of God, called by God, but he had some problems, and he didn't always get it right. And that gives me hope, because I'm a pastor, and sometimes I've got problems, and sometimes I don't always get it right. And you might think you're perfect, but you're not, and we don't always get it right. And so this is a great book, and it's also a book of second chances. And so Jonah is a great example of that. But let's just be careful. It's a familiar story. Not to let the familiarity of the story close you off to what God has for us and for you over these 4 weeks in November. And so we want to open our hearts and say, God, speak to us. As way of review, for those that weren't here, or just even if you were here, chapter 1 was a doozy. We had a lot to say. We talked about God's calling, God's calling on Jonah and our own lives. Romans 8:28, we are called according to his purpose. Jonah is clearly running from his calling, and we find out why. That Jonah hated the Ninevites. And he hated them. They were enemies of theirs. They were brutal. And one person said this week, and I thought it was so good, that it's like Jonah being sent to Berlin in 1942 as a Jew and preaching repentance. Get your mind around that for you history buffs. He's saying, absolutely not. It's a death sentence, right? And Jonah also knew that the character of God was good, that if he went and preached the good news, that they probably would repent. And he's saying, I don't want them to repent. Very interesting. We'll look at that in a couple weeks. But Jonah, he rationalizes, he justifies his disobedience just like we do at times. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but we all do. And we are encouraging each other to read and to study this month the book of Jonah with a mirror instead of looking through a window. Jonah wanted justice for Nineveh. He felt like they deserved it. But God was desiring mercy and grace. And we covered a whole lot last week about lordship and about rebellion and how Jonah was comfortable in his sin and that he was comfortable in his compromise. We also learned about the drift of sin that's always pulling. And we also said that if we're disobedient, if we're turning from God's call, there will always be a boat ready to sail to Tarshish away from God's plan. And it might look convenient, but it's not what God wants. And ultimately, when we boil it all down, Jonah is a story about someone just like you and me. The truth is, and I was reminded of this on Monday as I was studying, that sin, which that's what we talked about last week with Jonah, will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. How many have ever heard that before? It's true. And for Jonah, he lost a lot when he disobeyed. It was costly. It almost cost his life. Chapter 2, which we're going to look here in just a second, it talks about Jonah's journey. And some will study that and look and say that Jonah actually died and was resurrected. And others, certainly he's a type of Christ. And I'm not here, we're not going to study and kind of debate that. About half of the commentators that I read talk about that. But when we read this in a second, we're going to see words like sinking, down into the cold water, being at death's door. And it was bad. It was as bad as it could get for Jonah. But what's great is that Jonah was not alone. God provided for Jonah. He provided salvation. He saved Jonah. And that's our theme for today. And I'm excited to get there. In fact, that theme is rooted in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. That it's the theme of the book where there's hope for today and tomorrow. It says, my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Now, I want you to stand with me. And we're going to pretend that we're Jewish today. And we did this last week as well. The Jews will read the book of Jonah during Yom Kippur. And at the end of reading the scripture, they will say, we are Jonah. And I want us to do that. Let's practice now. And then after the reading, we will say it together. But say it together. We are Jonah. Let's listen to the word of the Lord.
Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. This is the word of the Lord.
We say it together. We are Jonah. Lord, I pray that this story would come alive. It would change us, strengthen us, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, let's start by talking about Jonah's need. He is in the storm. He's running from God. They pull lots to say who's responsible. His name comes up. And by the way, he already knew he was the reason. And when I think of Jonah's need, I think Jonah was busted. He's been thrown overboard. He dies and is resurrected, or whether he actually dies, he's captured by this great fish. He is at death's door, and he describes it in his prayer in verse 2 that he is in great trouble. Great trouble. Verse 17, he says he's in the fish 3 days and three nights in chapter 1. Jonah is at the end of his rope. He is out of options. He cannot outrun this one. And I want to just pull out the mirror and say, we are Jonah. How many of us are facing a storm? We are lacking answers. And we might be asking God why. And in Jonah's case, we see it because we see the whole story and we see the beginning and the end. And let's not be too judgmental about Jonah, but we are facing some storms of life. I was studying storms, the idea of storms that we face, and one pastor talked about the fact that there are protecting storms and perfecting storms, that sometimes the storms we face are the kindness of the Lord, the nudging of the Holy Spirit. These storms are created to stretch us, and we might even be facing the storm because of a godly decision we have made. And you can kind of imagine what that might look like. That pastor also talked about correcting storms. The fact that we brought it upon ourselves, that's what Jonah is experiencing. And it's still God's love that has allowed it And it's his love that will discipline us. We talked about it last week, Hebrews chapter 12. So there's correcting storms. And then there's sometimes storms that come straight from the pit of hell. The devil causes it. And I don't like to give him too much credit for things, but Jonah, in this story, he is in great trouble. We are Jonah. And in this case, the only way that Jonah was going to be helped was from God himself. Would you agree? Jonah is helpless on his own, but we see in the story that he's helpless, but he's not without hope. He's helpless, but not without hope. It wasn't time for Jonah to worry or to complain or to give up or to post something nasty on social media or to blame or point fingers at people. It was Jonah's time to pray, and that's exactly what Jonah does. That's what chapter 2 is all about, his prayer. Verse 2 says, he cried out to the Lord. Verse 1 says, Jonah prayed from the inside of the belly of the fish. And it's interesting to me that he doesn't pray in Joppa or in the ticket line waiting to get on the boat or even en route to Tarshish. We see that even in the storm, he's sleeping, not praying. He doesn't pray on the boat. Jonah doesn't pray until he's busted to save his butt, if I could say it so boldly. And I just want to pull out that mirror and say, ha, 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 have you ever been busted, caught again, cheating or lying? Have you ever burned your bridges and been in trouble, great trouble? Have you ever been at the bottom of the cold sea at death's door? And I will say that I've been there. There have been times in my life where I thought I was going to lose everything because of decisions I had made. It is not fun. We pull out that mirror and we say, we are Jonah. And we understand that a storm like that, a nap won't fix it. Money won't fix it. Time won't heal it. And even a good counselor is not going to cut it. Well, a storm like this, only God can help. And that's where Jonah turned. He prayed. And certainly there's deep issues within Jonah in regards to God's call on his life. He was only willing to obey if it seemed to suit him. But what does he pray? At the end of his rope, when he gets busted, there are 8 verses in chapter 2 that show that he prayed God's word. He prayed Scripture. In fact, you can do it on your own time. Look at the prayer and look at there. Each one is linked to a psalm. He was praying the psalms literally. I want to pause here for a second. Some prayers are more effective than others. I'm convinced of it. If you struggle praying more than a couple minutes, you're saying, man, I don't know how to pray for a long time, or I don't know what to pray, you can pray Scripture, and it pours fuel on those prayers. I love Pastor Jamie Jones. She's the one that started our service this morning. She's our kids' pastor, and she has a command of Scripture like no one else. When she prays, she pulls Scripture. I'm like, how does she do that? I found out after a long time of knowing her that in her teenage years, she did something called Teen Bible Quiz, where they would memorize huge, long portions of Scripture and then be tested on it with other people, and it was competition, and that's how she does it. But her prayers are powerful. And Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish was powerful because he prayed Scripture. And we don't pray Scripture to remind God. No, we pray it so it builds our faith. And so, can I be real with you? If you have trouble with your kids, you should be praying Scripture over your kids. If you have some sort of trouble in your business, find a Scripture that relates and pray that over your circumstance. Students, if you got trouble at school or trouble with friends or trouble with your grades, find a scripture, a blessing, a promise of God, and pray that over your circumstances. If you have an uncertain future, pray God's promises. Pray His truth. And I promise you, your prayers are all that more effective. I'll just say, this last Wednesday night, we have a connect group of prayer on Wednesday nights. And by the way, it's not the type that, you know, we're halfway through connect group season. You can't join because you feel like you're behind on the material. Listen, join us this Wednesday night for prayer. It's powerful. In this last Wednesday, I was studying this, and so I said, hey, tonight when we pray, I want us to pray scripture first and then pray about the need. And it was moving. It was powerful. And the time went by like nobody's business. Now, back to Jonah. Each phrase of this 8-verse prayer has depth and insight. And we could take a long time, and I did a lot of reading, dozens and dozens of pages. I mean, probably, 70, 80 pages of reading this last week. But I want to focus on verse 9 and pull three things that I think are important for us. Verse 9, the first thing, as we see, is that he praises God. And look what it says. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. Praising through the storm or when you're facing a storm. You might look at Jonah and say, well, that's good for him, but I can't do that. Well, I would just say, Jonah, if he was able to, in the belly of the fish, to praise God, to give thanksgiving, then you can do the same. And it changes things. Praise and thanksgiving. And it's by faith, because you might not see the future. You can't see the solution, but it's by faith, and it's a powerful way. Our elder Bob Boss, last men's breakfast a month ago, talked about this very thing, that worship changes things. And we worshiped as a group of guys. It was an incredible time. And we've got another opportunity this Saturday, guys, to show up big to men's breakfast at 9 o'clock. And again, but Bob, I appreciate that. So many times, and even as studying this week, I was thinking about your encouragement that we should be people of worship and thanksgiving and praise. The second thing in verse 9, in the middle portion, Jonah says, I will fulfill my vows. So not only will I pray, bring up sacrifice of praise, but I will fulfill my vows. And I was thinking and just meditating on that. And for some, this is the word of the Lord, that you need to go back to the last thing God has told you to do and do it. You know what they call that? Surrender. We surrender to the will of God. Remember, a no last week we said is rebellion. Lordship means we're all in, students, right? From the Yoko theme. When we're disobedient, we're never farther from God. And so when God speaks, we should come back to that point and say, all right, I will do, Lord, what you have called me to do. And I don't know what Jonah vowed to do. We know he was a prophet and called by God, and maybe that's what he's alluding to. There's different ideas around that. And what's interesting is he vows this. He says, all right, I will do what I've been called to do. And God's response to him, it wasn't immediate. It was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And it wasn't even what Jonah wanted. And that is hard to swallow. But that sets us up for my favorite part of the book of Jonah. At the end of verse 9, he declares that salvation comes from the Lord. We see him pray. He is saved because of his call on the Holy Spirit, on God. God was the only one. Only God could help him, and God does help him. Jonah is saved, and we see it in verse 10, the culmination. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And depending on what version of the Bible you read, that word spit could mean vomit, that he is vomited up, this big fish vomiting. And that's the picture of salvation here. Salvation, vomit, there's nothing clean about it. And sometimes we think, oh, if we experience the salvation of the Lord, things are going to be great and all my problems are going to be done or my addiction's going to be gone or whatever. Perfection, right? And sometimes that happens. I was reminded this week of a guy we knew, Lance Yant, back in Dayton, Ohio, where we served before. The night he got saved, he was completely delivered from alcoholism. He went home that night, took all the booze, poured them down the drain, and he's never had alcohol since. And I'm talking years. We knew him. It was years before the story, and now, you know, another 18 years on top of that. But that's not how it always happens. Because then we see in Scripture that Paul had a thorn in his flesh, presumably for his entire life. And I kind of relate a little more with Paul. Sometimes the things I struggle with, seems like I get victory and then I struggle. I get victory and struggle. Salvation, though, is not always what we might think or even want. But it's exactly what we need. And Jonah was saved. He was saved by the great fish. And I just want to ask you, what do you think your greatest need is in this season or what you're facing today? And I would say that your greatest need is more of Jesus. Your greatest need, no matter what it is more of Jesus. And I want you just to see this idea of salvation and more of Jesus being combined. And the storms that you're facing, yes, they get your attention. Yes, they will humble us. Yes, the storms reveal our need for God. Sometimes it will reveal idols. And God always gives us what we need, and what we need when we ask him is more of Jesus. And today, I know, first service, I'm expecting the same second service, that there are some people here that are facing some really difficult circumstances. And you might feel helpless. Maybe you're in trouble in some way. Maybe your life is a mess. And maybe you're just in a season where you just need a little extra. And I just want you to know that it might look helpless, but it is not without hope. That's the word of the Lord, helpless, but not without hope. And so your marriage might be in bad shape, and I get that. We've, you know, Jessica and I, we've worked on our marriage. We've, you know, and we continue to work on our marriage. And but listen, you might feel helpless, but it's not without hope. Money might be tight. We've already mentioned that earlier. The food insecurity in Grand Haven, it's hard to believe. Inflation, money might be tight. It might seem helpless, but you are not without hope. Maybe you're here this morning mourning over something or someone, and you're feeling helpless. Maybe you're feeling a little weepy. Ryan, I talked with your sister between services. She said, I just can't stop crying. You guys lost your dad this week, and I'm praying for you. It might seem helpless, but you're not without hope. The scripture here in Jonah's story doesn't really speak to health, but I know there's a lot of people dealing with health issues, chronic pain, illness, things like that. It might seem helpless, but church, it's not without hope. Maybe your kids are not serving the Lord. Helpless, it seems, but not without hope. The word of the Lord, if you're estranged in some way, the word of the Lord. In fact, I really felt with Rocky, with your encouragement, that we just need to continue to pray. I know we have a class right now that's meeting about estrangement, and there are many families that deal with that. I just declare that prodigals are coming home. Kids are coming home in Jesus' name. And not only just home, but to the Lord, coming back to Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 13 asks the question, Is anyone suffering? And if so, the answer is we must pray. Pray Scripture. Scripture never returns void. And know this, while you're praying and waiting, God is working on your behalf. And that's exactly what happened with Jonah. Jonah prayed and God heard him. Look at this in verse number 2, chapter 2, verse 2. He says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. And by the way, you don't have to wait till you're in the belly of a fish to pray. You get to determine your bottom. It can get a lot worse, right? Jonah could have prayed earlier, but God answered his prayer. And we've been saying, we are Jonah. You and I. You need a miracle. Pray. One commentator said this, he who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of the holy and happy life. We need to pray. We don't need to turn to a bottle or to turn to pills or to some self-help book or even to a good counselor. No, don't be too proud to pray when you find yourself in great trouble in the belly of the fish. We've been saying we are Jonah, but I want to flip it and make it even more personal. And I want you just to say with me, I am Jonah. Just say it with me, I am Jonah. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come. When we put ourselves in his shoes, and we choose not to judge Jonah for some of his behaviors, because he struggled. And even at the end of the book, we'll see it in 2 weeks, he's like sitting and complaining. He never really comes around. I don't know what the rest of his story. But we're Jonah. I'm Jonah. And the truth is, in a room this size, there are people here, right now, that need to come clean in regards to confession. I want to just speak this, that confession is good for your soul. It's a good way to live. When we repent, it's like turning 180 degrees back towards Jesus, where you've been running. But we need to repent. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can. And so there are some today that are at that point saying, I need to confess. I need to turn back to Jesus. And we'll talk about that in a second. The second thing is that salvation doesn't solve all our problems. It solves a lot. It solves our most important problem, what we're going to do for eternity. But we still live in a sinful world. And I was thinking first service that we experience things in some storms we experience are because of someone else's decision, someone else's sin. And that doesn't seem fair, but it's the way life works. But my question is, whatever you're facing, whatever storm you're in, what is it going to take for you to pray, to turn to God and say, Jesus, I need more of you, to stop running? Is God getting your attention through this, through the foolishness of preaching? And I believe that God is for many this morning. I'm going to ask that everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to just talk about that confession part first. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to confess my sin, would you just lift your hand? We're going to pray with you here in a moment. You're saying, yeah, I'm away from God. Yeah, several hands. So you're just saying, man, I need to put my hope in Jesus in that way. Yeah, several hands. Anyone else saying, that's me. Man, if I had the chance, I need to repent, turn from my wicked ways. Yeah. That's awesome. And then secondly, if you're facing something this morning, you feel like you're in the storm, would you just acknowledge by show of hands, say, man, I'm facing something where I need God. I need more of Jesus. Yeah. Lots and lots of hands. This is what I want to do. And for either of those circumstances or anything else that you might be facing in your life, what I've asked the team to do is just to play. And what I want us to do is I want you to grab your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, you can grab your phone and use the Bible app. And I want you to find a scripture in regards to your circumstance, what you are facing. And so if you're facing trouble in your marriage, find a scripture about marriage. And I want you to pray that scripture and then pray for your marriage. If you had something with your kids or with your business or with money or with, if maybe you got an anger issue or maybe there's an addiction problem, I want you to find a scripture. You say, I wouldn't know how to find a scripture. And you don't have to raise your hand for that. But what I want us to do, this is a quick cheat, okay? I want you to pull up Google, and I'm not kidding. And I want you to write in scripture or God's word on the topic of, and you fill it in, marriage, about bitterness, about generosity, or about listening to the call of God. And I promise you there will be a verse or two that will come up, and then you can pray that verse, and then I want you to pray over your circumstance. We're going to do this together. We're going to leave the lights up, and then Pastor Bobby has picked the perfect song to close this, to bring it all together. It's a song called Breakthrough, right? And I just loved first service. There's a prophetic word for us as a church of breakthrough this morning. And when we get there at the end, I want us to rejoice and to really champion that. But right now, find a copy of God's word. I want you, whatever you're facing, even if it seems small, I want you to look it up. Find it, pray the scripture, and then pray over your circumstance right where you are. And then Pastor Bobby will lead us here in just a minute. I just want to give you a quick example. If you're feeling, especially on that first hand raise, that you're struggling with sin and you're ready to confess, you take a scripture like Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. What you do, you take a verse like that. You can even change the words and say, I am controlled by I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit of God that lives in me. And then you pray. That's how it works. And so it's not complicated, but you find the verse, and that one just jumped out at me. I want to just give you that example. But let's go ahead. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord as we respond and just continue to let God move in this time. Thanks, Pastor Bobby.
This week for me was a little bit of a hard week. Lost my grandmother. It's been the third family member this year. In the past year, it was passed away. And, just thinking, what prayer, do you have when you're grieving, when maybe the world doesn't make sense? And, you go to the Proverbs, and it says, if you do A, then B will happen. And sometimes you do A, and B doesn't happen. Sometimes the opposite of B happens. And as I was sitting there, as service was ending, I just felt the Lord draw me to Ecclesiastes, which is a little bit of, it's called the anti-wisdom book in the Bible, where, Proverbs tells you if A happens, B will happen. In Ecclesiastes, it says, hey, trying to make sense of the world is like trying to make sense of the wind. It's like trying to grab a hold of smoke. It doesn't make sense. And so at the end of this book, trying to make sense of life and the world and grief and hurt and loss and pain and all the things, the book ends by saying, now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the duty of all mankind. For it's God who will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing. both good and evil. That just meant a lot to me. I don't know if it means anything to anyone here, but I thought I would share that before we pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you. And maybe some people here are in their moment where they're like Jonah in the heart of the sea, struggling to call out, maybe waiting until they're in the pit of despair before they even think to cry out to you. Maybe that's someone's moment here, that maybe they decided to walk into church as a last-ditch effort. And Lord, I pray that they would find you in the depths, in the hurting, in the darkness, that you would give them a glimmer of hope and a glimmer of light. And Lord, I thank you for that powerful reminder that while Jonah is in this pit, in this place, Lord, that he praises you, that he celebrates who you are and what you've done, that you are faithful, that you are good, that you are merciful. And he says, for salvation is found in you. We are saved. We are redeemed. We have mercy. And Lord, while we might be in the pit because of our own doing, Lord, we are where we are. We are with you. We have the promise of new life. And it has nothing to do with us. It's all because of you. And so, Lord, we celebrate, we praise, despite where we're at in the current moment, because we know we have hope. We know we have a future. We know that we have grace. We know that we have mercy. We know that our Savior has already won on the cross. And so, Lord, we can give him everything, knowing that it is in more capable hands than what we can do in our own power and our own might. And Lord, for those of us who aren't in the pit, who aren't in the heart of the sea, who aren't in darkness, Lord, who aren't looking for hope, Lord, I pray that we can be that hope, that we can be that answer to prayer, that we can be that light in the darkness, Lord. And whether it's through a kind word, or whether it's through serving someone in a practical way, whether it's through love in action or something else, Lord, I pray that you would use us, Lord, like we'll see that you'll use Jonah. And Lord, we thank you again for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do. And we know as we leave this place as your ambassadors that you will be with us. So Lord, go before us, behind us, and all around us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give our lives to you as an offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.